And here we go. All right. So let's get to work over here. We have some weird Shiloh that was sent in. I'm not sure why, but someone wanted to breed dogs. So he asked you, are you allowed to breed, crossbreed dogs? Mix different, you know, a Cocker Spaniel with a poodle. So it's interesting. You are allowed to buy a crossbreed dog. But if you are the one that actually wants to crossbreed them, it is a very tricky Shiloh. Highly recommended not to do it. And if you need more details, you'll let me know. But you definitely are allowed to buy cross-breeded dogs. Another Shiloh, which is really relevant when you all come to Eretz Yisrael, is if you grow fruits and vegetables in a potted plant, so it doesn't grow from the ground, do you have to take truma and meiser off of those fruits and vegetables? Like if it grows from the ground in Eretz Yisrael, you have to. If it grows from a potted, without any holes in it, a potted plant, fruits and vegetables, so you have to take off truma and meiser midrabanan, but you don't make a bracha on it for different reasons, because it could be a suffix, but you would have to take truma and meiser on it. So if someone sends you fruit or word and you come to visit from a plot, from a pot, you should take truma and meiser off of it. Okay, here's another one. Someone wants to do wash his floor, covered Shabbos, take a shower, the covered Shabbos. When does that start? When does the covered Shabbos start? Does it start from? One second. Yeah. So does it start from? One second. So I'm trying to get in. Yoni, can you send me the Yamin Walkenfeld the link? Yoni,
yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so when does the Kavod Shabbos start? So we'll see actually in tonight's shiur a nafka minah of this, but it seems to be pretty clear. Thursday night is when the Kavod Shabbos starts. If you want to wash your floor, wash your clothing, etc., not just for 9 days, just in general, hashkafically, you want to go ahead and do things with the Kavod Shabbos, it seems to be Thursday night is when it starts, and we'll see halacha nafka minah from Tisha B'Av very soon. Okay, that's one halacha. Another interesting shaila was let's say you're doing Shnai Mikra, which is a very good idea, perhaps a chiv, a recommendation. You should do Shnai Mikra, but what happens if you fall behind? Okay, let's say anyone who hasn't done it yet, so you've fallen behind in Shnai Mikra. Should you keep going in order of where you're up to, or should you skip ahead and then catch up? So it is recommended to skip ahead. So for example, this week's Devarim. So if you have not done Shnai Mikra for, you know, let's just say Bereishis Nayach Lechacha, and now it's up to Devarim, it is recommended to skip ahead, do Devarim, and then when you can, go back and catch up from Bereishis Nayach Lechacha. Someone else asked, fruits. Do you make brachas on fruits at the end of a meal? So this, you washed, you're having your meal, and then for dessert, you're having fruits. So this is a huge fight in halacha. Different shitas all over the place. The minhag olam is to, yes, make ha'etz or ha'dama on fruits at the end of the meal. And that's definitely what you can do. Most places can hold like that. What I recommend and what I try to do is if I know I'm going to be having fruits and vegetables at the end of the meal, I try to have it before I wash. Make a etz or a dama before I wash, have it in mind, and then I can eat them without a bracha at the end. But it is, if that didn't happen, or you're the guest and you didn't know, it would be right. You probably should, and most people hold that you do make a bracha on them at the end of the meal. Okay, and then a few different 9 days shilas that people send in, the most relevant one that people kept asking, as far as desserts, that shahakol, it's also machlokas Josh, right? In general, it's machlokas brachas on desserts. There's a question on cakes. There's a question on fruits, and there's a question on ice cream and candy. As far as cakes, most people hold you don't make it. As far as ice cream and candy, a lot of people hold you don't make. Not everybody. And fruits and vegetables, most people hold you do make those brachas. Okay, but it is definitely a machlokas tricky. And right, as far as 9 day shilas, a lot of shilas as far as eating milk and meat, not milk and meat, sorry, a lot of shilas eating meat. Can you eat meat? Should you eat meat? I want to eat meat. I'm starving. I need to eat meat. Bottom line is, don't eat meat. If you are pregnant and nursing and you need the meat, take a multivitamin and have some iron through that. If you still really need it, ask your doctor how important it is. If it's really important, then yes, you can go ahead and have meat. For kids, you don't need to be machmir for kids not to eat meat for sure until age 3. Most hold until age 6. Some hold until age 9 that you don't need to be machmir on them not to eat meat. And chicken soup is considered meat, and you should not have chicken soup. And one other side, cleaning off stains. Aaron asked, as far as cleaning off stains, so if the stain will not set and you can wash it after 9 days, then you don't need to wash it. Some allow, as long as you're not going to use water, like a little stick, a stain stick, some say that's better because washing is with water. If you're not going to use water, then it's okay. As far as tasting challah before Shabbos, if you want to let your daughter taste it and she can tell you if it's good, that's fine. It is discussed if there's a real need that you want to know if it's tasting good and it may not be good, so then you can be lenient. If it's just because that's your custom, you like to have challah before Shabbos, then I wouldn't do it. All right, so these were different challahs sent in. And now let's get to halachas of Tisha B'Av. Okay, so here we go. Tisha B'Av, the halachas of Tisha B'Av are broken into a few parts. There's the Erev Tisha B'Av, and then there's the Tisha B'Av itself. So as far as Erev Tisha B'Av, we do not say Tachanun by Mincha. We do say Tachanun by Shachris. And this may be difficult for people. You're not supposed to learn regular Lima Torah from Chatzais and on Erev Tisha B'Av, which means next week, Wednesday, from around 1 o'clock and on, you should only learn what you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, which we'll get to later. But this is brought down. This is debatable. A lot of people are makel with this because it leads to Bittul Torah. But if you are not going to Bittul Torah and you can learn these things, so it is ideal to only learn what you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, Erev Tisha B'Av as well. But you are allowed to play chess, and you are allowed to teach people to play chess, Josh, and you are allowed to do work. All those other things don't start. From Chatzais and on, the only thing that does start is this Isser to not learn from Chatzais and on. Okay, that is as far as Erev Tisha B'Av's halachas. Then we have the Suda Mafsekes. Okay, the Suda Mafsekes, Erev Tisha B'Av. The word Suda Mafsekes means the Suda, which is Mafsik, which separates between Tisha B'Av and not Tisha B'Av, which means any meal that you eat the whole day is not called the Suda Mafsekes. And there are no halachas about those meals. The Suda Mafsekes has a lot of halachas. So if you want to eat, and the minhag is to have a real big meal after mincha earlier in the day, no problem. What we're talking about right now is the Suda HaMafsekes itself, which is the actual meal, the last meal that you'll be eating before Tisha B'Av. Now, that meal is supposed to be, you're only allowed to have one cooked food at that meal. Cooked means in water. So if you want to have pasta, that's okay. If you want to have an egg, that's okay. If you want to have some other cooked fish, that's okay, but only one of them. You're only allowed to have one cooked thing. The minhag is to have bread and an egg. That's the minhag. So you want to fill up in a previous meal, and then at this last meal, Sudan Sekas, have bread and an egg. Now, also brought down is to sit on the floor. During this meal, Sudan Sekas to sit on the floor. You can put a towel down, a pikabal, you shouldn't sit straight on the floor. You put something in between you. So you sit on the floor, and you have bread, and also have the minhag to dip the bread into ashes. So this, you can burn a little piece of paper, borrow a lighter from your friend, burn a piece of paper, and dip your bread into the ashes, sit on the floor. That's the Suda Mafsekes. It's better not to have a zimun. So if you are three people in the house, sit in three different corners, you don't want to join up. This is a sad type of meal. And therefore, you will eat on the floor your bread and your egg. You should not have beer, even though you are allowed to have beer during the 9 days. At the Suda Mafsekes, you should not be having beer. Okay.
Now, after you bench from the Sudan Sekas, you still are allowed to eat and you're still allowed to wash and do everything else. It's just that is your last meal. Some have the minhag to verbally say, I am not accepting the fast yet, which is fine, but you don't need to do that. Unless you say you are accepting the fast, you have not accepted the fast. Okay, those are the rules of Sudan Sekas. Now we're going to get into Marv. Okay, Marv Tisha B'Av, regular Marv, and we add at the end of Marv, Megillas Eicha and Kinas. Right, so Kinas will be saying around 5 or 6 Kinas, and Eicha, if you're davening by yourself, you still say the Kinas, and you can still say Megillas Eicha. If you have a cloth, if you have a cloth, so then, if you have a cloth, then you should make a bracha on the Megillah, different minhagim, but definitely read Eicha if you're by yourself. If you want to get engaged, Chaim, so that you can get engaged, but not on Tisha B'Av. Do it before Tisha B'Av. I think you actually are allowed to get engaged on Tisha B'Av, but it's a little bit weird. But anyway, so back to Mariv. So that's Mariv, that's sitting on the floor. That's Kinais. And okay, so those just joining us, we have just gotten up to Tisha B'Av. Okay, so we've done Sudan HaSekas, we've done Mariv. Now we're getting into the Isurim of Tisha B'Av. Okay, the Isurim of Tisha B'Av. So one thing to keep in mind, the Rabbanan are not oppressive people. Hashem is not oppressive. All these Isurim that we have on Tisha B'Av are not to make our lives difficult and make it a dreaded, terrible, awful day. The idea behind Tisha B'Av and all these Isurim of Tisha B'Av is to give us a focus, keep us focused. And everything we're going to have 8, 9, 10 different Isurim, it's all with one theme. That is, we are Avelim. The same way when someone Chas Shalom is an Avel on one of his relatives, he sits Shiva. The idea is to be focused on the mace, to be focused on what that person did for you, how you're going to miss him and move on. So to Tisha B'Av, the idea is not to be oppressive, but the idea is to keep a focus. It's not easy the whole year round to be focused on the mace and Mikdash and this instruction. One day a year, at least, is the day that to stay, keep the focus. And therefore, all these things are not to be give Hesach Hadas. The theme of the day is don't be Mesiach Das. Don't think about other things. Stay focused. In order to keep us focused, the Rabbanan gave us many different Yisurim. Okay, we'll go one by one. The most famous one is no eating, no drinking. If you are pregnant and nursing, you should still try to fast. If you're feeling weak or your milk is affected, then you could eat. But definitely try to fast. And if it doesn't go, it doesn't go. If you just gave birth within 30 days, anyone here, I'm not aware of. But Chaim, if you know someone who is expecting and gives birth, within 30 days, they do not fast at all. If you have a headache, take a Tylenol. Better without water or with disgusting water. If you can't do that, a little bit of water is okay. Washing out your mouth, brushing your teeth. By the other fast, we said it's no problem. By Tisha B'Av, it's brought down only if it's bitzar gadol. It's so painful for you not to brush your teeth or rinse out, so then you can and make sure you don't swallow that. Okay, that is as far as eating and drinking. As far as the second iser, rechitza, washing, right? So during the 9 days, we don't shower, normally at least. On Tisha B'Av, we don't do anything. Not, forget showering, not hands, feet, face, nothing. We don't do any washing of anything, whether it's cold, whether it's hot. The only exceptions are if you are dirty, like you went to the bathroom, so then yes, you can wash. Or when you wake up in the morning, or for davening, you want to wash your hands. You can do it, but only up until the end of the fingers, which means the last knuckles right before your finger starts, your hand starts, I mean. So until there is where you should wash, because that's where the tumma is. That's where the spooky stuff is hanging out on the fingers. So you want to wash them off before davening and when you wake up in the morning. Okay, that's as far as rechitza. Let's say you want to wash food for the children. You want to wash fruits. You can wash fruits. If your hand gets wet, that's okay. But that's not your intention. But that is as far as washing. That's iser number two. Iser number three, sicha. Sicha is referring to anointing, smearing yourself with oils, etc. So these things are aser to do. Where it comes out is deodorant. Deodorant is mutter. Perfume is aser. You got that? So you definitely can and perhaps should put on deodorant, but you should not If you are a boy, put on whatever that's called. And if you're a girl, do not put on perfume. That is as far as sicha. Okay, the next sister, shoes, ni'ilas sandal. So you should not, do not wear leather shoes. You are allowed to wear non-leather shoes. For ketanin, for children, even though it's not chayev, the minhag is children also do not wear regular shoes from whatever age they can handle it, 3, 4, 5. They do not wear regular shoes. Again, you don't force it, but it's definitely the minhag for children not to wear regular shoes. All right, number five. Tash Shemitah, relations with your wife, even if it's mikvah night, you don't go to the mikvah. Some have brought down to be machmir to keep harchakas, which means no touching, no passing. Again, not me'ikredin. Me'ikredin is just Tash Shemitah, but it is brought down during Tisha B'Av for sure at night and some even by day, not to touch or pass things to keep the regular harchakas. Okay, next. This is the hardest one for sure. Talmud Torah. Okay, it is aser to learn regularly Torah on Tisha B'Av is aser. You are allowed to learn other things. The idea behind it is Torah makes people happy, and on Tisha B'Av we should not be so super duper happy, but you can learn other things as well, and you should learn other things as well, like the Gemara that talk about the Chorban in Gittin, or Halachas of Avelus, either in Shulchan Aruch or in the Gemara Ma'ariv Katan. Or you can learn Iyov or Eicha, right? There is plenty to learn. Feel free to be in touch with me what you could learn and what you should learn. But you definitely should not learn regular Baba Kama and Brachas, but you definitely should learn other things. Now, if personally you don't enjoy learning, so, right, some people may have that question. It doesn't matter. Whether you like it or not, Torah makes you happy. Even if you think it doesn't, it really does. And therefore, no learning, even if it's torture for you, you still don't learn. That is that. As far as saying Tehillim, a big discussion, a big debate. Better not to say Tehillim, unless it's a chayla, for sure. If there's a sick person, for sure you can say Tehillim. If it's just because you have a Seder routine of saying Tehillim, definitely not to do in the morning, maybe from Mincha and on. People are more makel to say Tehillim from Mincha and on. That is that. As far as Talis. Okay, we do not put on a talis gadol or wear tefillin in the morning, only at mincha and on. A talis katan, we do put on, but we don't make a bracha. And therefore, for the married men, you'll put on a talis katan in the morning, make your bracha on a talis gadol in the afternoon, and that will go on your talis katan. But if you are still a bachar and you didn't get engaged between, or married, I guess, so then you only wear a talis katan, you put on without a bracha in the morning, and ask someone else to be motzi you with their talis gadol bracha to be motzi in the afternoon. As far as keeping your tzitzis out, even though in front of a dead body, we do not keep our tzitzis out, and Tisha B'Av, we're supposed to view it as if the base of Tisha is burning, but you can still leave your tzitzis out because it's not an actual dead body. So you do wear tzitzis, you can wear them out if you want to, but no brachas up until mincha time. Okay, in mincha we say aneinu and nachem. It's a special nachem, one time a year. We say it, don't miss it. But if you do miss it, you do not repeat Shemona Esrei for that. Okay, that's Talmud Torah. Next one, number 7. She'ila Shalom. She'ila Shalom is asking your friend how he's doing. It doesn't just mean Shalom Aleichem. It means good morning. All those friendly comments we do not do. She'ila Shalom is Aser on Tisha B'Av, and not just until Chatzais, the whole Tisha B'Av, it's Aser. So do not go and schmooze with your friends, say, how you doing? If you are asked, how are you doing? So you can respond, but respond in a way that's showing the conversation is over. Like, I'm okay. And then move on. It's called Safa Rafa, right? With you know, but you shouldn't have social conversations. As far as hugging children, it's a good shaila, because when someone is actually sitting Shiva, it's recommended to keep the children out of the Shiva house. Don't hug and kiss them. They do discuss it. What about on Tisha B'Av? Definitely, if they need a hug, they need a kiss because they fell and they have a boo-boo and they're going to cry the whole day if they don't get it, or they're going to be emotionally scarred if they don't get it. So give them their hug and their kiss. But it should be because they need it and not because you want to do it. Okay? So that is, for those just joining us, Though we have just discussed many of the Isurim of Tisha B'Av, there are a few more. One of them is sitting on the ground. We do not sit on a chair starting from Shkia, Erev, Tisha B'Av, starting from Shkia until Chatzais. We don't sit on a chair, we sit on the floor or a low stool if you have a terrible back or you are sick and it's dangerous for you, so don't do it, sit on a chair. But if you are able to, you should sit on the floor with a towel between you and the floor or a low stool. All right, now, other things that are brought down to, in general, minimize your hana, minimize your benefit, your pleasure on Tisha B'Av, you should do it. The example that I brought down, the Rama brings down as far as sleeping. So Wednesday night, to change your sleep style, which means if you normally sleep with two pillows, sleep with one. If you normally are weird and like to sleep on a bed, you can sleep on the floor. If you want to put some rocks under your pillow to make it a little bit less comfortable, you can do that. You can come up with your own ways. The idea is to alter it, that you should remember, it's Tisha B'Av, I'm not so comfortable, I'm mourning the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore shake up your sleep routine. Now, as far as working, one more thing, smoking. I don't know if anyone here smokes, but it's definitely ideal not to smoke on Tisha B'Av, not because of eating, but because of the miyad hana, to minimize your enjoyment on Tisha B'Av. If you can go the whole day, do it. If you can't go the whole day, at least wait until Chatzais. If you can't wait until Chatzais, then at least until after Kinos in the morning. And when you do, if you do need to smoke, don't do it publicly, do it privately. It shouldn't be a smoking fest with friends. If you need to do it because you need to do it in your own room by yourself. Okay, what about working, business? Are you allowed to work on Tisha B'Av? So here's the way it goes, different than Hagim. If it's a Dover Ha'avid, you're going to lose your job, you're going to lose your Parnasa Mutter. If it's not going to be so important, you can take a day off, take a day off. If you want to work part of the day, so try and push it off until after Chatzos, at least until after Kinos, try to push it off. If you can, great, and that's the best. The idea is to work as little as possible, and best not at all, but if you feel you have to, only the most minimum amount, and after Kinos, after Chatzos. Okay, now the fast is over. At Tzeis HaKochavim, you eat, you put your shoes on, and then the minute you do Kiddush Levana. Thursday night, Kiddush Levana. And as far as how many kinos to say, I did not talk about that. In the siddur for kinos, right, there are around 46 total kinos between the night and the day. If you say all 46 of them, you'll probably not understand what you're saying or say them very quickly. So then you definitely are allowed to skip. If you're in a shul, I would like to do whatever the shul's doing, not to be different than whatever the shul's doing. So some shuls do skip. They pick certain ones. The rabbi speaks about them. Some shuls just say them all. If you're in shul, I would say do whatever they do in shul. Read in English, read in Hebrew, but just keep with them. If you're doing your own thing at home, so then do your own thing and whatever talks to you, whatever you will get the most out of. It's not like Kriyas HaTorah, it's not like Shnayim Mikra, you can't skip a pasuk. You can skip. The idea of kinnis is, at least until Chatzais, to be on the floor and fully focused on them. So even though it's long, ideally you should be saying them until Chatzos. So you have a lot of time, right? You wake up with a sikin till Chatzos, you got 6 hours over there. You have a long time to say 46 kinnis. And if for whatever reason you did oversleep, I would say definitely say as many as you can with English, whatever you want to say, but say as many kinnis as you can, that will talk to you, that it'll have some meaning. And then the last halacha, for those people, persons who just joined me, the last halacha is Matzi Tisha B'Av. Normally, Matzi Tisha B'Av, you still have the same halacha, not same halacha, you still are not, you have like the 9-day halachas until Chatzos of the next day, which means no meat, no showers, no laundry until the next day. This year, because Tisha B'Av is Thursday, so then you are allowed to do things with Kavod Shabbos starting from Thursday night. For example, you can shower Thursday night with Kavod Shabbos, not because you want to, but if it's a Kavod Shabbos. Be honest. you can do laundry. Laundry that you need, you are allowed to do also L'Kavod Shabbos. However, eating meat, it's very difficult to convince anyone that eating meat Thursday night is L'Kavod Shabbos, and therefore I would not eat meat Thursday night. But definitely laundry, for sure, you could and should start doing Thursday night. Okay, that is a wrap of halachas of Tisha B'Av. Now, just something short on the parsha and something on Tisha B'Av. This week's parsha is Parshas Devarim. There is a fascinating medrash. What shower? 1 minute, Abba. If you take on, try again. I mean, right. So I mean, if you want to take, you're going to take a shower Friday because you're showering the L'Kavod Shabbos. So Thursday night, I wouldn't take a regular shower. Do what you would do like during the 9 days. Meaning, if you smell, do a quick in and out shower. But don't take the 10-minute hot shower, singing in the shower Thursday night. If you're going to do that also Friday, because then you're not doing the L'Kavod Shabbos. You're doing it because you want to. Shaving Thursday night, you are allowed to shave Thursday night. Haircuts, you're doing that with L'Kavod Shabbos. Also, it's better because Friday you may run out of time, you'll be busy with other things. So you definitely can shave and shower Thursday night this year. Not other years, but this year, yes. All right. So getting back to, Parshas Devarim. So in Devarim we have, a medrash. A medrash which says, Eila Devarim Asher Diber Moshe. And the medrash asks, how could it be that Moshe said Devarim? In Parshas Shemais, the pasuk says, Lo Ish Devarim Anochi. Moshe Rabbeinu had a speech impediment, and he was not able to talk. He was not a man of words. So the medrash asks, on this week's parasha, how could it be Eila HaDevarim Asher Diber Moshe? Moshe couldn't talk. He couldn't say words. So the medrash is a question. And the medrash answers, Kevin Shezacha L'Toyra Nisrape L'Shoinai. Once he was Zeicha L'Toyra, so then he was healed. Once he was Zeicha L'Toyra, he was healed. Which is fascinating. Moshe Rabbeinu had a speech impediment his whole life, who was unable to talk properly. When he went to Paro, he was unable to talk. Now, because of Kabbalah Satira, boom, it's a Metzias, and he was able to talk again. The Koyach of Tira by Har Sinai, what happened in Har Sinai, you have people with a speech impediment, whatever it was, and he did not get rid of it his whole life. But at Kabbalah Satira, Moshe was healed, as was everyone else. The question is, do we have that idea today? Right? That was something special by Mamed Har Sinai. Do we have today how Torah heals? Definitely gives you schusim. I don't know if it has the same koyach of healing, but we saw by Har Sinai, it definitely had that koyach. That's an interesting medrash on Parsha. Then as far as Tisha B'Av, so in Tisha B'Av, so I'll tell you a story which is perhaps famous already, right? There was when the Israeli army conquered the Kaisel, so you had all these soldiers coming over and embracing the Kaisel and davening and crying. And then you had one soldier in the back who was just crying profusely, no yarmulke, just crying. So they asked him, what are you crying? He said, I'm crying because I don't know what to cry about. Everyone else here is crying. But I don't even know. And that's something, an idea that we have about Tisha B'Av, that Tisha B'Av, we don't really know. We didn't have the Beis HaMikdash. We don't exactly know what we're missing. That itself could be a reason to cry. We're going through all of these halachas, all these isurim that we're doing because of Tisha B'Av. Do we really know why? We should try to understand, try to appreciate. But at the end of the day, we could just be crying because we don't even know what we're supposed to be crying about. That's one thing. Rav Aaron Cutler has a whole parak about Tisha B'Av, and he says an idea which is great. And I'll jump to the mashal, which I've told at least some of my family members before. The mashal is like this: Let's say you were a human, and then Harry Potter comes and changes you into a frog. Okay, you turn into a frog. Now you will realize that what you're missing. You're going to appreciate, I used to be a human and now I'm a frog. You're going to know, whoa, I am missing so much. I used to be able to walk, talk, learn, eat. and now I'm a frog and I hop around and I leap around. You're going to realize, oh my gosh, what you're missing. But let's say, and you're going to be davening every day, Hashem or Harry, turn me back into a person. I want to be a person again. That's going to be your drive, your goal is to get back to being a person again. However, if you were born a frog, right? You were an FFB. You're a frog from birth. You're not going to realize what it is to be, what it means to be a human. You're not going to strive. You're not going to have a goal. Oh, I wish I could be a human. You don't know what that is. You look at humans as like they're weird people. At least you get to be on your lily pad and hop around. You don't really appreciate like, whoa, being human is great. So that was Aaron's mashal to us, right? If we had the Beis HaMikdash and then we lost it, we would really realize, oh my gosh, what the Beis HaMikdash was, the Gilui Shechina, the opportunity to bring karbanos, to get kapara, like the closeness we have with Hashem. And if we lost it, we would daven every day, cry every day to get it back. Unfortunately, we were all born without the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, we are these frogs. We're hopping around thinking we're so happy. Wow, we're so lucky. But we don't really realize that we're just a bunch of frogs and we're missing out the true life, the true dveikus and kiru that we're getting to Hashem, we're missing. And so that's something on Tisha B'Av, to have a goal. Like, would you want to be a frog your whole life? Absolutely not. If we appreciate what we're missing, or at least try to realize we're missing something, we should have the she'ifas, he says, to have the goal, the drive to be the peak, to be the best. And the best is with the Beis HaMikdash. So that was the thought that I had when I'm sitting on the floor in Tisha B'Av. I'm sitting on the floor just like a frog sits on the floor. I'm sitting on the floor like animals sit on the floor, right? Animals don't sit on chairs. That was another chat. You're sitting on the floor. Remember, you are nobody. We were born into this world. We're lacking the Beis HaMikdash. So on Tisha B'Av, have that in mind. Mitzvah Hashem, we will now be taking a break for Bein HaZmanim. The next year will mention be Rosh Chodesh Elul. I will send out a link then, but I will take Shaila Bein HaZmanim, and interesting Shailas will be reported. Where will I be till then? I don't know where I'm going to be, but Mitzvah Hashem, we'll continue together Rosh Chodesh Elul. We should be zeichet to see the Binyan Beis HaMikdash B'Karov. Have a good night. Thank you, Nachum. All right.
Are you taking questions?